Welcome to episode 56 of Published. Today I'll speak with Texas Book Festival's literary director, Matt Patton. Matt will tell us all about the Texas Book Festival and how independent authors can get involved.
Welcome to Published, a podcast by Greenleaf Book Group, where we'll discuss the ins and outs of the publishing industry, from writing a book and finding the right publisher, to gearing up for a book launch. And now, here's your host, Greenleaf Book Group CEO, Tanya Hall.
Welcome back to Published. In this episode, we're discussing book festivals and similar events and how they can be beneficial to an author and their book. New book festivals and fairs pop up all the time, and navigating whether you should attend or pay to exhibit at one can be hard for a new author. Literary festivals are a fun way to showcase your book to new readers and network with other authors and industry professionals. The events themselves are often very interactive, with many different activities, presentations, interviews, meets and greets going on simultaneously. Matt gives us his insight into what it takes to get involved with organizations like the Texas Book Festival and how they support authors and readers in other ways too. Matt comes to us with 15 years of experience in the book industry, and way back in his career, he actually worked here at Greenleaf Book Group. He currently works at the Texas Book Festival and is on the board of directors at Austin Batcave, a literary nonprofit that empowers young writers to find their voices and tell their stories. Let's get into the interview. All right, Matt, welcome to Published. Great to have you.
Tanya, thanks so much for having me.
Of course. So let's start out with you telling us a little bit about your background.
Well, you know a little bit about it because I worked with you many years ago, which we talked about a little bit in the green room before. Short story is I've been in publishing and writing and editing for about 15, 20 years, if you count some college experience, writing books for school newspapers. But I was an advertising major at UT, and that's because I liked copywriting and graphic design. And, some people don't think about this when they think about advertising, but it's also a great anthropological study on modern history. So I love that part of it. But my project in my last semester was with a real world client, which was Greenleaf. And then I started after that, so at Greenleaf. And then just moving forward quickly, I went to HarperCollins, New York for a while after that, came back, worked as a content director and curriculum designer in the higher education space. And then started getting involved in nonprofits in about 2014, 2015 with Texas Book Festival as a committee chair and so on. And with Austin Batcave, which is a literary and education nonprofit in Austin. And, next January, it'll be 2 years in this role at Texas Book Festival. So here we are.
Yeah. Happy anniversary.
Oh, thanks. And it's been quite a 2 years, as you imagine.
Been a tumultuous 2 years. And for people who aren't familiar with the Texas Book Festival, can you tell a little bit about the event, the organization, the mission?
Yeah, sure. Well, Texas Book Festival is one of the largest literary festivals in North America. It was founded in 1995 by Mary Margaret Farabee and then First Lady of Texas, Laura Bush, who was a librarian by trade. One of the main missions at that time, and it's still core to what we do, is raising money for libraries in Texas, especially rural public libraries. So that's kind of how it started. And last year was our 25th year, 25th anniversary. Not the 25th anniversary we kind of expected, certainly. But 2021 was our 26th. So the mission has expanded in that quarter of a century. This year we gave $125,000 or more to Texas libraries. It's still core to what we do, but also expanded our outreach programs into in-school appearances by children's authors and giving books to schools, mostly Title I schools in Austin, DFW, Houston, and the Rio Grande Valley. So I know we're going to talk a little bit about year-round events eventually, but that's one thing that we do year-round is in-school programming.
I love to hear that. I was telling someone recently, I remember as a kid when the order forms would come for the Scholastic Book Club.
Oh, God, yeah.
And you remember that? And my mom, bless her heart, would always just say, whatever you want. And you take that for granted, that you have access to books literally delivered to your desk in a classroom. And there are some kids.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I have very fond memories. I think all of us book nerds have very fond memories of Scholastic. For sure.
That was an exciting day when those books came, for sure. Yeah. Can't even tell you. So obviously, a lot of authors may be wondering, when is it appropriate to get involved in a festival? What can I expect? That type of thing. So can you speak kind of high level to when that might make sense for some of our listeners to consider?
Yeah, well, I think it's whether you're traditionally publishing, so to speak, or hybrid publishing or self-publishing, independently publishing, you know that, especially if you've tried going the agent route or the, you know, traditional publishing route, everybody's a little bit different. They have different, you know, they always instruct everybody to just follow the directions when it comes to this sort of thing. So I say that to say that every festival is a little bit different. But I would say that, for instance, San Antonio Book Festival, just down the road from Austin, they have a rolling submission process that's year round. Whereas for us at TBF, it usually begins, Texas Book Festival, it usually begins in early February, and the submission window lasts until about June 1. So that's the first thing I'd recommend, is just like, what is the submission window for whatever festival you're going to? And, you know, also check out what is this festival? What kind of programming? What kind of genres does it capture? Is it mostly, if you're a children's book author, is it mostly a children's festival? Is it mostly adult? You know, when I think adult, I think Sonoma Valley, for instance, that's a purely adult. So that's another thing. Texas Book Festival is a big tent festival. So each year we have 250 to 325 authors, more or less. And, you know, depending on the year, it's about 60 to 70% adult and then 30% children's. And when I say children's, I won't get too into the weeds here, but when it's children's, it's YA, it's middle grade, it's picture book. With adult, it's half fiction, half nonfiction with some poetry kind of folded in there as well. So just get, you know, just getting an idea of what does this festival kind of do, you know, and does your own work, does your own book kind of, does it seem to fit into that to some degree? So that's where I would start. It's just understanding the landscape of festivals, especially in your own region. So, I mean, if you're in Mississippi, you should be watching what the Mississippi Book Festival is doing. If you're in Miami, it's the Miami Book Fair. If you're in Chicago or the Midwest in general, it's Printers Row, which happens in Chicago. If you're in Texas, there's TBF, there's South Texas Book Festival, there's North Texas Teen Book Festival, there's West Texas Book Festival. There's lots of events going on. So I think the most important thing I would say is just tapping into your community, wherever you live, and seeing what's going on there.
That's good advice. And for somebody who is participating, what should they expect? What can they, so that they go in with the right expectations, what should they be looking to get out of it?
Yeah, well, I'll just speak to, and again, this is a little bit different depending on the festival or the event in any case, but I would say for Texas Book Festival, we're not a writer's conference, so to speak. So we're not like AWP, which is a writer's conference, or Romance Writers of America, which have lots of very genre-focused writer's conferences. We're a reader-focused festival. So most of the events that we have are between 45 and 1 hour sessions, sometimes solo authors, sometimes panel discussions that are reader facing. At the same time, we also put an emphasis on book sales and signing of books afterward. Of course, the last 2 years have kind of, you know, have been kind of a different story. But typically speaking, if, you know, you go to a TBF session, say in 2019, that takes place in the Capitol Extension Room in downtown Austin. Afterward, you'll go to the Book People sales tent. Book People is our partner, official partner bookseller. Purchase a book, take that book to the signing tent, you know, get your book signed. The author will be there signing books there. But with all that said, is another thing that we try to do at Texas Book Festival is have author-focused events so that there is networking happening, so that there's friendships being formed. So for many years, we've had every author on the TBF lineup is invited to the author cocktail party, for instance, and sometimes other events too. Depending on the year, we've had Thursday evening events as well, Friday evening events. A few years ago, we did, what was it? It was authors kayaking on Town Lake. So, I mean, you know, it's just like, you know, just keep your eyes and ears open for what are those opportunities to connect with your peers, because some of the best relationships are made that way. I know tons of stories of would-be authors who, because of the connections that they made at festival, ultimately went on to publish a book. So, you know, just lots of conversations happening, both reader-focused and kind of internally, so to speak. With authors, publicists, agents, and just the general kind of literary community, whichever community you're in. Mm-hmm.
And is there any point at which it makes more sense perhaps to exhibit versus trying to be on a panel or otherwise participate?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's, you know, Greenleaf has been an exhibitor at Texas Book Festival before. So at many other presses, University of Texas Press usually has a booth at the exhibitor's tent. Texas A&M University Press usually has an exhibitor's booth. So I think it's just, you know, talking to your publisher or your publishing partners or packagers, you know, publishing friends, whoever you're working with. I mean, are you going to have, you know, a presence in the exhibition kind of space at whichever festival you're going to, and saying, hey, you know, I'd like to have a presence there too. It never hurts to have two presences there. I mean, you could be, you know, it's just more, a bit more exposure. There's different kind of foot traffic in different areas of the festival. So I think it always makes sense to pursue the exhibitor's path. And again, it's different with every festival, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you'd be excluded from being on a lineup or being in programming of some sorts. But yeah, I would take advantage of that opportunity for sure. If you know, your publisher or your publishing partners are there, you know, at a festival or an event.
Okay, great. Now you mentioned 2020 and the curveball that COVID threw to all of us. And obviously that's going to have a huge effect on something like an in-person festival. So can you talk a bit about how you pivoted through that and your take on how, if at all, that made any impact on the connection between authors and readers?
Yeah, where to begin? I feel like this could be a whole seminar. I think that we'll take it back to maybe 2020 to start. I think that one thing that I remember when I first realized that things were kind of happening, which was, I think it was February, there was a big publishing/writing conference happening in San Antonio that week. And I heard about a lot of people pulling out. And, you know, of course, we'd heard the news from overseas and so on, but it was getting to a point. So I think at Texas Book Festival, one thing that we tried to focus on really quickly, even if we didn't have all the answers, was jumping into virtual programming, so to speak. And for us at that time, there was a lot of Instagram Live conversations with authors. You know, as you know, many authors' tours were kind of canceled because many booksellers, bookstores weren't having in-store events anymore. Everybody was figuring it out. But again, that's one thing we tried to do early on, is just, you know, get out there. And partially for our own sake too. We had never done anything to that degree before, to that volume, to that scale. So we just got involved in that really quickly. So 2020 was all virtual, of course. 2021 had its own challenges. And I think it was a bit more challenging in a lot of ways because it was one foot in, one foot out. It's, you know, we knew in 2020 in June that it was going to be all virtual. Whereas in 2021, it was, well, will we or won't we? And we're watching kind of like, you know, the stages of the Delta variant go up and down. And it was kind of back and forth. But with a festival, an event as large as ours, I mean, we can't wait until the absolute last minute. I mean, we have to start planning early. I mean, when we made the decision to pivot a lot of our programming to virtual this year, we were in Austin at stage 5, which is the highest stage. By the time that the festival rolled around, we were almost back into stage 2 again. So I mean, it's just like, but we couldn't, you know, we could wait. We couldn't do that. So lots of coordination and planning involved. I would say with reader and author connections, I think the obvious answer is, yeah, I mean, it definitely had an impact. I think the good is that with virtual, and people are getting better and better at virtual, I think, and evolving and adapting to different kind of virtual formats, is that you don't have to, I'll just take Texas Book Festival, which is a statewide festival, but of course we take place in Austin every year. But finally, we were able to reach better out to Houstonians and Dallasites and San Antonio and El Paso and the Rio Grande Valley in ways that it truly felt like the most Texas Book Festival because you didn't have to physically be here. So that was good. There's lots of ways to connect virtually. But as you know, there's that in-person magic that you can't replace online. So there's that. There's, you know, when you can't go to a session and then walk to a book signing session afterward. And, you know, like we were talking earlier about Scholastic Book Fair, kind of roam the sales tent and pick out those books that you love and take them with you. There's just something physical about an event like ours that is very, very hard to replicate. And also, I mean, online, people have tons of, and this is not a bad thing. I mean, people have tons of options about where they'd like to purchase their books. I mean, even though, say, Book People is our official bookseller, I can't we couldn't fault anybody from Dallas buying from Deep Vellum or anybody from Houston buying from Brazos Bookstore, or, you know, if, you know, strapped for cash, just buying from Amazon, getting it a little bit more affordably. So that book sales kind of element to the planning kind of leaves our control a little bit, I think, in the virtual space.
Mm-hmm. And what's on the docket for 2022, out of curiosity? It's too soon to say.
Might be too soon to say, but I think that we're all at TBF very eager to get back in person. So, and I talk to, you know, book people, the lowercase book people, not our partner, bookseller, every day in the industry, publicists and agents and editors and so on. And it's a little bit all over the map. I mean, some houses and some publicists are, they've let me know that their authors would rather prefer to do virtual. It's just easier to sit home pantless in front of a screen and, you know, talk about things. But others are very, very eager to get back out there. And, you know, we are too. At the same time, I think we all realize that we can't forget about these last 2 years and what we've learned from it. For example, we were at Austin Central Library this year for our in-person programming. We had tons of virtual stuff, but we were in person at Austin Central Library, a gorgeous building, really happy with it ultimately. And we live streamed all of those, and we've never done that much live streaming before. And so, you know, going forward, it's something that we're going to be thinking about too, is, you know, how can we live stream more of the sessions that happen at Texas Book Festival so we can reach a broader audience, not only statewide, but, you know, nationwide and sometimes internationally. That was one of the amazing things we discovered last year, is that the platform that we use gave great analytics about where people were watching from. And it was always amazing to see people log in from, I don't know, Reykjavik, Iceland, London, Buenos Aires. That was fun to see. And we don't want to quite lose that. So I think, you know, finding some sort of hybrid solution that looks different than this year, but is mostly in person, but can enhance the programming through a broader reach with technology, is kind of what we're looking at.
Yeah, sounds like a win-win. Now, yeah. You mentioned some events scattered throughout the year. It's not just the one big festival. So can you talk about kind of what that lineup looks like? And then how do authors get involved if they're interested?
Yeah, well, number one, I'll talk about the children's and young people's literature programming separately. But, you know, each year we have at least a handful of sometimes referred to as off-season events for us. This year, and I believe it was July or August, the pub date moved a few times, publication date, so I kind of get off track. But for example, we hosted Ethan Hawke in conversation with Richard Linklater virtually, and we had to do it virtually in any case for lots of reasons. But one reason was that Ethan Hawke was overseas filming somewhere in like Eastern Europe. You know, in previous years in person, we've had, you know, best-selling author, National Book Award winning Colson Whitehead here. We've had Lawrence Wright, Pulitzer Prize winner, in person as well. And in 2020, we were going to have, exactly how it evolved, but it was Jenna Bush, essentially. It was Jenna Bush, and she'd written a book about her grandfather, George W. Bush, and we had planned on having her in person at the Long Center in Austin, a big venue in Austin, but that had to move virtually, you know, for instance. With children's, I mean, we do our Reading Rock Stars, which is our in-school children's programming, in Austin at the same time as the festival in the fall, but we do it in DFW, Houston, and the Rio Grande Valley in late winter and early spring. So a lot of our focus is there. We have a program for older, for young readers as well, but in an older demographic, so upper high school, lower college, called Real Reads. So we do that. It's kind of on the model of Reading Rock Stars, but it's just, you know, for older readers as well. So we do that. But how to get involved, I mean, I think this is true wherever you're at. And it goes back to my point earlier about, you know, whether you're in Mississippi or Miami or wherever you are, is kind of thinking of the long game, you know, and getting involved as soon as you can. If you love books, you love literature, you love talking about books, either volunteering for something. Texas Book Festival, for instance, relies on nearly 1,000 volunteers to operate in a typical year. So I mentioned earlier that in 2014 or 2015, I joined, so to speak, TBF as a chair of a volunteer committee. So just getting involved in that way, I think, is important. I can think of two independently published authors who were on the lineup in 2021, for instance. And one of them had been involved in the literary community in Austin for at least 5 to 10 years. And another one had, for a picture book, but he was an educator in at a public school here in Austin. And he had been coming to Texas Book Festival with his children for many, many years. And in fact, the picture book was inspired by a connection that his son had with an author in one of our tents, Texas Book Festival. So those are two examples of independently published books. But I think that's true whether you're independently publishing or traditionally publishing or whatever direction you're taking is, you know, just taking that long game, getting involved, getting to know people in the education sometimes, especially if you're a writer for young people. But also, if you were in Austin, I'd say, join the Writers League of Texas. Fantastic membership benefits. Take classes, adult classes at Austin Batcave. Take classes at the Writing Barn, which is in South Austin. So that's kind of how I would suggest one way is to approach it, thinking not just year of, but more broadly speaking.
Yeah, great advice. So for any of our listeners who are looking to get involved in Texas Book Festival or any other festivals, any parting advice? You've been very generous with us today, but anything else that you'd like for them to know?
God, I don't know. I think, and I sound like a broken record, but I think it really is a couple things. Number one is looking at the festival, the particular festival, seeing what kind of festival it is, understanding that festival landscape, number one, especially regionally. And two is just getting involved in the community, just getting involved. And I think this is, you know, stepping back and thinking just publishing in general. And I think I mentioned this earlier too, but if you're taking a traditional publishing path and you're pitching to an agent, you could cast a very wide net, but probably get ignored, or you could cast it. Well, it's not a narrow net, but be more targeted with what you're doing and think like, okay, this agent has represented the types of books that I'm writing, and just kind of taking that path. I think it's true of independent publishing too. I mean, what is your genre? What are you writing about? How can you connect with different organizations or societies, so to speak, within your own community to get the word out and kind of just grow it from there? And a few more things is that Texas Book Festival, by default, if you know you're on the lineup of Texas Book Festival, you are also having a signing session, which typically takes place sometimes on site at a larger venue. But if it's taking place in the Capitol, you'll be escorted to the signing tent afterward. Readers will buy your book in the book sales tent, and you'll be there to sign your book. That's by default, but some authors don't want to do that. What I would say is that whatever event you're going to, whether it's a festival or a bookstore event or whatever it is, you know, insist on, if you don't hear anything about signing, kind of try to insist on it. Say that you're happy to do that, because signing your book leads to greater book sales. You know, number one, I think that's true across the board. Another thing is that, you know, when you're working with an organization like Greenleaf, you're in good hands automatically, because Greenleaf has, you know, a fantastic editorial and design and distribution operations there. If you're going it truly, truly solo, and you really are trying to do it all yourself, which might include the cover design, the interior design, the editing, everything, the printing, and so on, know that it's going to be a bit more of an uphill climb, because especially when you take the distribution part of the equation, if your book isn't in, say, a wholesaler like Ingram that can be ordered from by a bookstore, a partner bookseller like Book People that we work with at Texas Book Festival, it's going to be harder to actually get your books into readers' hands at a festival like this. And sometimes you can do consignment deals with the bookstores that are in your region, in your city or community. Definitely something to talk to booksellers in your community about. But that's a relatively more of an exception. I mean, a lot of booksellers order their books by the box wholesale. And so if it's difficult for them to get their hands on your book, it's going to be more difficult to sell it. And, you know, from a programming perspective, it doesn't always make perfect sense at festivals.
Yeah, awesome. Well, Matt, thank you again for joining us today. It's great to see your face again.
Yeah, you too. Thanks so much, Anya.
You bet. Take care.
All right. Bye.
That's it for our episode today with Matt. We hope you enjoyed learning about book festivals and how you can get involved. For notes and resources from today's show, go to greenleafbookgroup.com/episode56. You can also find advice for writing, publishing, and promoting your work in my book, Ideas, Influence, and Income, which you can learn more about at ideasinfluenceandincome.com. If you've enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. It means a lot to have your feedback and helps us to make sure we're answering your publishing questions. A big thank you to Eleanor Fishbourne, who produces the Published podcast. We'll be back next month with another new episode.
Thanks for listening to Published. To learn more, please visit greenleafbookgroup.com. And remember to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes.